The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Buildup with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, what's happening, everyone? It is game day, and the San Jose Sharks are getting ready to take on the LA Kings tonight at the Tank. 7 o'clock go time right here on the Sharks Audio Network, 6:30 pregame. As you may be aware, tonight's game is on ESPN, so you are going to want to listen to the home broadcast, or if you do want to listen to the home broadcast, get it right here with Dan Ruzanowski. Roxy Bernstein's on the call for ESPN. He's a friend, obviously. There's no problem listening to him. But I know that many of you like to listen to the quote-unquote home broadcast, so we're giving you that option as well. Just sync us up and then listen to Dan call the game. As usual, before Kings game, I spoke with longtime color commentator Daryl Evans. Daryl, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
Always wonderful, Ted. How about yourself?
I am always great during hockey season, usually pretty great in general. But I think we're in for a pretty good game tonight. And I wanted to start off with, you know, a lot has been talked about the Kings kind of being in this space where they're trying to make sure that there's not, with the end of Kopitar's career, a change in the success they've had, the signing of Adrian Kempe. Tell me about that and what it means for the long term and the short term.
Well, I think long term, he's a true King. You know, when you draft a player and you know you've got a couple of those players in your organization right now, you draft a player that has got a lot of potential. You want to be able to take care of him as long as you can. And I think because of the history that he's already had with the organization, he's very deserving of a long-term contract. He's everything that you want to be in an LA King. He's one of the most complete players that you'll see around a National Hockey League. He plays all five positions outside of the goal. We've seen him on defense, on the power play, penalty kill, center, left, and right. Every critical situation that you play in. So he's one of those guys that you've invested a lot in, and he wants to be a King. You know, he's always wanted to be a King for his entire career, and this puts him in a good position to be able to do so. And especially with Kopitar, you know, announcing his retirement, you want to make sure you've got some of those guys from that generation to be able to kind of, you know, carry the torch, so to speak. And Kempe is one of their leaders.
Four out of the last five have been wins, obviously only three wins in the month of November. What has been working so well for this team?
Well, when you go back to in October, Kings right off the bat took all kinds of penalties. They were in a penalty box short, so many times during the course of a game. Their penalty kill, not only is it improved, but they're taking a lot less penalties, so they're putting a lot less wear and tear on their penalty killers. They're in a stretch right now. They've only given up one power play goal against, and I think it's the last eight games now. So that's real solid. I think when you look at, you know, they brought in a lot of different guys over the summer, a couple of defensemen, a couple of forwards, goaltender, and it takes a little bit of time for everybody to be able to gel, get into the systems. And I think that was one of the reasons as well. Not that it's an excuse. It's just, you know, there's a learning curve there, and they're learning to play with each other. They're playing back to their identity. They're a strong checking team. They play a heavy game, and everybody's buying in right now. Like, if you look at this road trip, the first five games of the road trip, they've outscored their opponents 14-8. So, you know, only eight goals against in five games. They're playing tight there. They need to score a few more goals. There's no doubt there. And I think the ability to be able to do so is there. But they're hoping that that comes in due time.
The big difference that I noticed from October to November as well, and this was something that was kind of puzzling to me, Daryl, was when I looked at that Kings team in October, I was thinking, boy, you know, last year the team got off to such a hot start, especially defensively. That's not what I'm seeing right now. But now it really has tightened up defensively, and it just looks more in line with what we saw a year ago. What do you think is behind that specific change?
Well, start with individuals. You've got to take care of your own business first. And I think Brant Clark, who, you know, looking to be a cornerstone here for a long time in LA, he did a lot of work in the offseason. His defensive play is really, you know, shored up this year. again, the veteran players that they brought in on the blue line, Dumoulin, Ceci, you know, bigger players, longer reach, heavier players, you know, Dumoulin with a couple of cups, Ceci, a lot of playoff experience. So those guys really help shore things up on defense. Up front, the guys that they brought in, Corey Perry, I mean, you know, you've seen him play for a number of years. You hate to play against him, but I'll tell you, you love him when he's on your team. And, and you know, the Kings are embracing him. He's a great influence on the young players. He goes to the hard areas. You know, one area that, you know, we haven't seen the impact yet is on the power play where, you know, eventually it's going to come where he's, you know, getting, you know, his opportunities out there, you know, whether it be redirections, rebounds. But he's influenced the team in a lot of different ways. And then, you know, up front, the addition of Joel Armia, his ability to be able to play in any situation, left or right side. He can play in the top line. He can play on the fourth line. He's added a little bit of depth there. So things are balancing out nice and with regards to the lineup. And I think that's why you're starting to see a little bit of a change. You know, a very balanced attack. I think the Kings only have four guys that have at least five goals. So everybody's chipping in. You know, Deneau's yet to score on the season. So they're hoping that he finds his groove in that regard. And, you know, Warren Fogle missed a few games. Kopitar missed a handful of games. So, you know, it again, no excuses. Every team's going to go through it because of a compressed schedule this year with the Olympics. And you've just got to be, you know, one man down, next man up, and everybody's got to chip in. And you need a lot of guys that are able to play. And it's going to be a real tight season. I think the way we look at the standings right now, it's the way it's going to be. I mean, a couple of wins, you jump from maybe not even a wild card spot up to, you know, third place or second place in a division, and you lose two or three in a row, and next thing you know you're out of the picture again. So there's a lot at stake every night.
No, and it's a whole lot of fun as well. You brought up Corey Perry, who I wanted to ask about, and one of the things that's really impressed me about his game is that he's changed. He's adapted. He's not trying to be who Corey Perry was a decade ago. He understands his physical limitations, but it's seemingly making him more and more of an emphasis point within this team. And he continues to look so dangerous. And again, you know, whether he's creating, whether he's finding his own opportunities, it reminds you that, you know, he might not be as young as he once was. I don't think any of us are, but, you know, he's still such an effective player.
Yeah. The cerebral part of his game is phenomenal. You know, you look at, you know, you go back to when he was in Edmonton there, they had him playing with McDavid, you know, and Draisaitl. So that just goes to show you how intelligent he is, because it's not easy playing with guys like that. And he didn't miss a beat with those guys. He comes in here, you know, he starts on the fourth line, but he plays up with Kopitar, he plays with Byfield. He plays with basically everybody, and, you know, everybody loves playing with him because he's very predictable. You know exactly what he's going to do out there, and you know where he's going to be out there, and he doesn't let you down. Maybe not, you know, as quick as he was, but, you know, I don't think he was ever the quickest player. It was his willingness, his heart, his desire to go to those areas, and he continues to keep doing that. He has not changed at all. He's got a, you know, real burning desire to win another Stanley Cup, and the Kings are very fortunate to have him and his attitude.
Net minding has been quality, both guys with under three goals against, and Kemper, obviously, even in the loss the other night, was still very nice. Are we expecting Forsberg or Kemper tonight? Do you know?
Not 100% sure. Probably looking like Forsberg, but yeah, the goaltending has shored up. And I think it, again, collectively comes with a group. You know, when you got a couple of new defensemen out there, you know, a goaltender, you've got to get your reads, you know, where to set pucks up for guys. And, you know, when guys are in front of the net, boxing guys out. So there's a little bit of a communication gap there at the beginning, but I think that's starting to settle in nicely. Both goaltenders are doing a really good job. You know, Forsberg got a big shutout the other night in Ottawa. Not that he had a lot of volume, but it was timely saves, quality saves at the right time that allowed him to be able to get that shutout and get a big 2 points for the Kings. So whoever's in net, I think the Kings feel very comfortable now that they've settled in because of the structure within their own play. And as long as everybody's doing their own job, nobody has to go out there and excel, albeit you'll take it on any given night. But I think, you know, a lot of their success comes by committee, and that's what they preach and that's what they practice.
Next man up mentality, with Doughty being out 2 to 3 weeks with that lower body injury. Is that pretty much the message?
Yeah, you know, that's the message there right now. The Kings are going to be, pretty fortunate right now. I know they've got a game in San Jose tonight. They play one in Anaheim next week, but they're going to be at home. The Ontario Reign, their affiliate, is going to be around California as well. So, if they do have to, alter making a change, like Mo Farah is the player right now. He's the next one on the list within the group. But the Kings have now, four left-handed shots and two right-handed shots. So that might be something that they'll look at, as time goes on, if this doesn't work out. But they've got a number of guys that are very flexible and capable of playing the right side. Mikey Anderson played the right side last year quite a bit with the injury to Doughty. Dumoulin's done it throughout his career. And Mo Farah, he can play on both the left and right side. So I think they're in a pretty good position there right now. Mo Farah has been chomping at the bit to get in there. He's only played a couple of games on the season, but this will give him a little bit of a chance to, to get on stage and get some reps in.
What has been the biggest surprise for the Kings this year in your mind when you're watching and you're seeing maybe an aspect of the team that you didn't expect, either positive or negative?
I think it's. Maybe negative, maybe a little bit, in with regards to I thought they might be able to score a little bit more, but we talked to Ken Holland yesterday, and we've talked to a number of the coaches. The checking in the game, there's just no space anymore. You don't see a lot of goals scoring, so I don't want, I'm not going to necessarily say that's disappointing. I just maybe expected a few more goals, and I still think those goals are come, especially with the Kings' power play struggling the way it is. I think, 5-on-5, they're doing a good job in that regard, but they've only got 10 power play goals on the season. So that's basically, a half a goal a game, or a game every 2 games, a goal every 2 games. So I think that department will pick up and will give them the, that missing goal. And, with the record that they have right now, a lot of those tight games, you put one goal in there and, you might be looking, at a victory as opposed to a loss or an overtime loss. So you pick up an extra point or two here. So I would say the power play, if anything, been a little bit disappointing, because of the personnel that they have. But I think that is something to do with, just finding a rhythm. We all know that special teams go in cycles. So I expect that to find a groove pretty soon.
You brought up the tight games, and I believe there was a stat from about a week ago, and it's probably changed a little, but I think something like 80% of the games this year had been decided by one goal or one goal plus an empty netter. And just right now, can you think of a time when there was this much parity across the league like we're seeing early on in the season? And I know that, Florida's banged up, and now the Devils are without their big guy and Jack Hughes. But I just feel like every team has a real fighting chance in any given game, which is it's great for everyone watching because I feel like every game is just that much more intense because of it.
Without a doubt, the fans are the biggest winners. The parity, we've talked about it, probably for the last handful of years, that the parity continues to keep getting greater and greater. And I don't think it's ever been as, as great as it is right now. I said it before the season and talking with the guys in the NHL network, and it's played right out. I mean, there's teams like you sit there, you lose 4 or 5 in a row, and all of a sudden you look like you're down and out, and then you put together a little bit of a streak and you're right back in the pack again. You don't want to drop too far behind, because what it means is everybody is, in the thick of it, and then you're going to have to leapfrog over 5, 6, 7 teams, and we know that's not going to happen when it gets later into the season. So you want to stay in the thick of it, but the parity is unbelievable. The balance in this league, you look at the teams that have struggled over the last number of years, San Jose being one of them, Anaheim being one of them. You look at Chicago; these teams have all drastically improved. They've got game breakers in their lineups now with guys like Celebrini, Bedard. They're doing a great job. Look at Utah. So there's a number of teams. Anaheim with Joel Quenneville is doing a great job with that team. Kings have yet to play him in the regular season. They're going to see him in next week, the day after Thanksgiving. So real excited for that one as well. But the young players are getting better. They've paid their dues. They're getting better, and they're becoming an impact. They're learning about the league. So there's a lot of energy with these young guys. The skill that they have is phenomenal, very entertaining for the fans for sure. And what that does is it encourages the organizations, general managers, even ownership, to go out and support these young guys, because let's face it, you don't get these generational type players all the time. So you want to make sure that you're able to, get on their coattails a little bit and make the best of it. So I think that's what we're seeing.
When you were here a few weeks ago, back on the 28th of October, LA jumped out to a 3-0 lead, and San Jose got back into it by way of a ridiculous pass from Macklin Celebrini over to Will Smith. And I'll have to send it to you because Dan Boyle steps all over Dan's goal call because Boyle is just out of his mind with that pass from Celebrini, which it was. It was a tremendous pass. But I guess, you know, when you see a 19-year-old making passes like that, that I would have previously associated with, you know, Joe Thornton and Wayne Gretzky, not that Celebrini's on that level as of yet, but I mean, you see the skill. I'm just curious what your reaction was at that moment. And then also what you have seen from Celebrini this year as he continues to evolve into one of the best in the league.
Yeah, there's no doubt. You know, what he's done has been phenomenal. Watching, you know, don't get to watch all the games, but watching some of the games, but most importantly, the highlights, and just to see the impact that he can have on a game. He's a game changer. There's no doubt about it. And you know, the Sharks are fortunate to be able to have a player like that. And you know, like, you know, the guys that you just mentioned, the Marlowes and the Thorntons, and you know, Shark greats, NHL greats, you know. The only way that you get to that level is you got to do this consistently year in, year out. And you've also got to do it come playoff time and things like that. You know, there's no doubt he's going to get his opportunity, you know, sometime in the future here to be able to do it in postseason play, whether it's this year, next year, or a couple of years down the road, whenever it comes. But I think that'll be a big measuring stick for him. But there's no reason to believe that he's not capable of doing it for everything that he showed right now. You know, and now when team, you know, people talk about San Jose, the first thing that comes up is Celebrini. You know, it's almost like Celebrini Sharks type of thing. And he's a lot of fun to watch. He's great for the game, and he's great for the, you know, for the team here in San Jose and their community. You know, he's helped already pull them from down and out to a competitive team night in and night out. And we all know that, you know, during the season, it's a little bit different than the playoffs. Things tighten up a lot more in the playoffs. But what he's done and what he's doing right now is, you know, you got to applaud him for it.
Is he at the point, and I mean, I'm sure it is, but are teams specifically game planning for him, or is it what he can create for his line? I'm just curious from your point of view, I mean, how it was when you were a player, when you knew you were going up against a top talent or a guy that was on a specific heater?
Yeah, when a guy's, you know, when a guy's hot, I think everybody's got an awareness of it. You know, and again, that's not to say that, you know, it only happens when he's on a hot streak, because we all know he's a good hockey player, and you got to respect that at all times. I think you have to be aware of when he's on the ice. You know, you got to defend by committee. You want to limit time and space. Celebrini is interesting because, you know, sometimes players that are as dynamic, usually it's, you know, they might be a goal scorer or they might be a playmaker. And he's got a great combination of both. He's got a great shot, great release, and vision on the ice is outstanding. So he's kind of like a double-sided weapon out there for them. And it makes it a little bit more difficult. So what you don't want to do is give him too much power play time. That's one thing. You got to stay out of the box because, of course, guys like that thrive when they get the extra space and time on the ice. But yeah, you got to be aware of it, but I don't think you change things too much. You just got to make sure that you present yourself defensively with layers just in case one guy gets beat. You can't try to get isolated one-on-one because guys like that, they can make you look silly awful easy.
Back when you had your best year, 82-83, did you play with a different level of confidence when it was, I don't know if it was coming more easily for you, but when you knew you were burying goals more consistently, when you were setting guys up? Like, I always wonder how big the confidence role is, because it's always a talking point. But while anyone can be confident, I would imagine, Daryl, that the guys you were going up against on any given night could be very effective and probably humbling you at the same time, no matter how well you were playing.
Oh, no doubt about that. You know, each individual's got his own strength, and you know what he can feed off of. Confidence is a big part of it. You know, you can tell. You see a guy, you know, when he walks in the rink, his body language, the swagger that he comes in with, the confidence, and you know, even the best players, the guys who have the best numbers and make the most money, you can also tell when things aren't going well for them either. You know, they're human too. So, because you carry such a role on your team, I think you take it, personally, that you're letting your team down. So there's a lot of different ways that it can factor you. I think the young players today, there's a different mentality with the young players today. They come in with just a little bit of a looser attitude than, you know, maybe a couple of generations ago. They're a lot of fun. They come in with all kinds of confidence. These kids believe every night that they're going to score goals, and you know, they don't mind getting involved in an 8-7, you know, run and gun type of game. I know the coaches are all trying to tighten it up as much as they can, but you know, they love playing in those games and are used to doing it. So that's what makes the game so much fun each and every night.
Well said, Daryl. I appreciate your time as always. I know you've got stuff to do, so I will let you go, but I will see you tonight at the tank. All right, my friend.
Have a great day, and thanks for having me on again, Ted.
That was Daryl Evans, and we are out of time. 6:30 pre, 7 o'clock go, right here on the Sharks Audio Network as San Jose plays host to the Kings. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Raby, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.